For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa lava and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes and with me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinirao Arona, and we're going to get through the big news of Pacifica footy for rugby league and rugby union. T, Friday has come quick again.
Yes, kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to all our listeners. Man, these shows tick them off, and you know, next thing you know, we're back in the studio, but very happy to be here this Friday. We have a huge show to present to everyone listening. Round 26 kicked off last night, the grand final rematch with the Broncos versus the Storm, so we'll touch on that one. We've also got Sala Tongatuki, who is in the winner's circle once again, the West Tigers NRLW forward. It's been good to see her winning.
It's good to see her smiling, laughing, and we don't have to ask her those hard-hitting questions and where are the answers coming from. But, man, she's all over it at the moment.
And then we'll also switch over to Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani to cover all things Fijian rugby union. But if you are in Tonga listening, keep an eye out for Nems, because he is currently in Tonga and doing the Lord's work and doing some of our rugby union community work over there.
If you don't know what he looks like, you can't miss him. Like, he's massive, big, bald Fijian man, and he'll be carrying a sweat towel around for sure, bro. That will be him through the streets of Tonga.
And then we've got some rugby union international games to talk about,
yes,
Sammy.
Yes, we'll be talking about those ones. We've got the All Blacks, we've got the Wallabies playing. We have a big show planned, so let's rip straight into it.
Talofa lava, guys. It's Lindsay Tui. You guys are listening to Nijan Footy.
Rugby league, bro, let's kick it off. Last night, I know you mentioned it was last year's premiers. You know, it just seems like a distant memory now, considering where they are compared to this time last year.
Yes, the Broncos, they took on the Melbourne Storm in Brisbane, and this was Payne Haas's and Adam Reynolds' last home game. Adam Reynolds didn't play, but Payne Haas, his last home game, and I'll touch on quickly, you know, the service that he has given to the Brisbane Broncos. He has been the best prop in our game in the world for a number of years now. He's won a premiership for the Broncos, and he deserves his flowers before he sends off, before he moves to the South Sydney Rabbitohs for next year. So I thought it was very important to acknowledge Payne Haas, but also Adam Reynolds. Two competitions, two premierships that he has won, and one including for the Brisbane Broncos. And again, another great servant to our game. Adam Reynolds will be retiring after this season, but you know, to see these two have their farewell last night at Brisbane Stadium, you know, it was quite special to see, and we wish them all the best from Nijan Footy.
Yeah, you talk about the legacy Payne Haas will leave at the Brisbane Broncos. Like, just listen to these awards that he got. Daly M Rookie of the Year 2019, Daly M Prop of the Year 2019, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2025, RLPA Dream Team Prop 2019, 21, 23, 25, New South Wales True Blue Award 2025, the Paul Morgan Medal with the Brisbane Broncos, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 25.
That's the player of the year.
Yes.
For the Brisbane Broncos.
And then there's the Shane Webke Award for Best Forward, 2020, 2021, 2022, 23, 25. Carl Webb Medal, I don't know, that's 2025. Like, are we serious right now?
Show me his trophy cabinet.
Hold, mate, he needs another house for all of his trophies. That is impressive. Like, how do you replace? I know they've got
Mitch
Barnett, but how do you replace someone like Payne? That's a huge hole to fill, and what a get for South Sydney.
Yeah, very huge. When South Sydney lost Keon Kolomatangi to the Dragons, I dare say that they were stoked when they landed the signing of Payne Haas. But a very hard person to replace. I don't think you can, given his, you know, his achievements, but also the way that he plays his game. We've spoke about it in the past around big men in rugby league now. There's not many of them.
Yeah, we thought they were going to fizzle out with the rule changes, but not Payne.
Yeah, when you look back, there was Sam Cassiano, there was Frank Pritchard, you know, Dylan Napa, Kane Evans, those big boppers, you know, Andrew Fifita, Dave Fifita.
Yep.
Twin brother Dave Fifita, not the current Dave Fifita, but those big, tall bodies, there's not many of them in this game anymore because of the six-a-game rules, because of the intensity, the speed, the amount of efforts that those middles have to do. But Payne Huss is a one-of-one, and he deserves his acknowledgements because you won't find another Payne Huss in our game today. So wish him all the best. But last night, unfortunately, the Melbourne Storm had to ruin the party and win this game 46 points to 20. I just thought their spine was, again, unreal. Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes, Cameron Munster, and out back, our man, Sua Fa'alongo, them four put on a clinic. There was three tries scored from their winger, Siulangi Tuimalatu Brown. He scored three for the Storm, but Stefano Toikamanu,
he looked like he had a point to prove.
He was
a chip
in the middle
on his shoulder.
And
these he wanted tries, that smoke.
These tries shouldn't be scored like this at the NRL level. But just off a tap, he just ran through, bumped off a few Brisbane Broncos, made it look like he was playing kids, and scored a try right next to the post.
Tap and go from the Storm. Uduwikamanu buffets off one before getting into the in goal area. The ball comes free. My vision was impaired by the corner padding, the post padding. So I didn't see. The ref says no try. All I saw was the ball come free. We couldn't see through the post.
The fingers remain on the ball and grounds it. We have a decision.
Stefano Uduwikamanu will be awarded the try.
I will say for the Melbourne Storm, this is, you know, not normal to not see them playing in the top eight. But when you look at the season they've had, you know, Eli Katoa was a huge, a huge miss. That would be similar to Broncos losing Payne Huss.
Yep.
Losing a player like him. And then also Xavier Coates, their X factor, scores a lot of tries for the Storm. Ryan Papenhuyzen, obviously, he's also went at the end of last year. So there was some changes that had to be made. And we've seen a lot of rookies come through and try to do the job for the Storm. But they've had a bit of a shake-up. And also
Melbourne, you can still tell that there's that... There's still that DNA within those Melbourne players, even though they're not the same caliber of those players that stepped in. You could still see them trying hard, and the effort was still there. The attitude was still there. They just weren't getting the results.
But the Broncos,
I'm not saying there was a lack of attitude, but there was just games where they just didn't look in it.
Mm.
So I felt there's a big difference there.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the year plays out. And yeah, I know that there'll be a lot of pressure there at the club because the Brisbane Broncos are such a big club in our game. You know, do they make changes?
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're going to have to. Look, probably the biggest one is around what they do with Madge. And I don't think he should apologise for his style.
He's brought him a premiership.
He's done the job, okay? But what they have to look at now as the decision makers at the club, and this is all clubs as well, when you want a Madge style, sign him for 1 year and that's it. Go and get a smash and grab. Mate, I need you to turn this ship around. You got 1 year to do it, because I've had the Jamie Josephs, I've had guys like John Mitchell, that staunch approach. Like, they're good and they need to be in the game, but you can't have them for any longer than probably 2 years, because it takes a massive toll on your body, and also mentally, you just need a bit of a break. So I just think those type of coaches, they're good for smash and grabs, and then you've got to find another coach that can probably get long-term success after it. But it is a tough one, T.
Mm. Well, in this game, so 46 points to Storm, 20 to Broncos, but the NRL also introduced a new rule that they were trialing in this game. Now, the team that concedes a try, they can decide whether they kick off or they receive the ball. Now, in the first half, this rule wasn't activated, so the teams just kept deciding the normal rule of just kicking off to the team that scored the try. But in the second half, this rule was activated. Now, in Melbourne Storm first activated decided to receive the ball after the Broncos scored a try, but this was when the Melbourne Storm were down to 12 players. So it happened I think the Storm done it twice and the Brisbane Broncos done it once. What are your thoughts on this rule?
I don't like it because it's different to like a six again rule where it probably has a bigger impact on the game. But I just don't think this feels like small rocks compared to the big rocks that you need in the game. And there was a lot of talk about it. There was anticipation around it and it felt like a lead balloon when it happened. You know, it's sort of like, oh, there we go. It's happened now. Sweet. The experiment is there. But I just think for the big rocks of the game, where the game is, it's just something that's just not needed in my view. But like as someone that's, you know, you'd know it better than me tactically, is there any benefit to it?
I think there may be a benefit if, say, you know, we were playing each other. I'm on 12 points. You're on 4 points. You score a try. And then, so I'm only up by two.
Yep.
Instead of me kicking you the ball, I could go, all right, I'll receive the ball. And then they try and kick off short, but then we get the ball back and then we drain that timeout.
Yeah, okay.
There are little scenarios like that, but I just don't think, to be honest, I don't think the rule is needed. I think the game's in a beautiful position the way it is right now. Look, with those rule changes this year, you know, adding the two players on the bench, people have been able to adapt to that rule. There were some views on it, but people have been able to see the benefits of it or even the the pros and cons. But I think if it does become a rule, it will take time for people to understand it or to get on board with it. But at this point, I just don't think it's
I think there's needed. Other rules in the game. If you're going to tweak something, like even with the, like, you know, touching the player's leg on a field goal attempt where you've just, even if you just touch it with your pinky, it's a penalty, like even, stuff like that.
You know, when you're putting one arm up, when you're going up to kick for it to
contestable kick.
Contest the ball.
Yeah, like stuff like that. Get rid of those rules or change those rules. Fix that one up first before the kickoff.
But yeah, I didn't think it was needed. But we'll see how it goes. That was the only time it was trialed, I believe, this round.
There's no other games?
So
that was the only
game,
one? Okay.
But potentially, it could be trialed again in a game that doesn't impact the finals next round. Maybe. But great win for the Storm. Now let's shift over to a couple games that caught my eye this weekend. Tonight at 8 p.m., we have the Penrith Panthers kicking off against the Bulldogs. Now, the reason why I'm liking this game, because the Bulldogs need to win to keep their finals hopes alive. If Bulldogs lose, they don't make top eight. If Bulldogs find a way to beat Penrith Panthers, they have an opportunity to still stay alive to make the eight, depending on other results. But I'm liking for the Panthers, their forward pack. If they are to win, the forward pack need to do a job. Moses Leota, Liam Henry, Lindsay Smith. Obviously, Isaiah Yeo is missing, so they've got a big job to do to control the ruck, to control that middle, but also get him onto the front foot. And in attack, look, there's no Jack Cogger, no Mitch Kenny to help Nathan Cleary. So I think Nathan Cleary has a big job to be able to, he has to control, once they get into field position, how they're going to score points. And he's that man. He'll be that guy to be able to direct the Penrith Panthers. For the Bulldogs, I love their back rowers, Viliami Kikau and Jacob Preston. Jacob Preston just announced that he signed a 4-year extension with the Canterbury Bulldogs, so he'll be in a good mood this evening. But just that strike on the edge, to be able to have weapons like that on either side to cause damage once they get into those good ball zones, when they start getting into those attacking zones, watch points come off the back of their direction, their direct carries or leads. Stephen Crichton and Lachie Galvin, both in the halves, they have a big job as well. If they are to score points, it will come off the back of those two and their back rowers. So,
who's getting it done, T? With all of that information, who's getting it done?
I actually think, now I thought, at first I thought Penrith Panthers, you know, should win this one and they find that form going into the finals. But when you look at these teams, I think when you've got Viliami, Jacob Preston on either side, and if Stephen Crichton and Lachie Galvin, they connect and do a good job in attack, I think the Bulldogs may cause the upset here.
They seem to really rise against the Panthers, the Doggies.
Well, there's a few former Panthers players there, and Stephen Crichton, Sam, and even the coach was an assistant coach there for a number of years, Cameron Serralda. So, I think they've got that bit of chip on the shoulder to do a job against Penrith. So I would say the Bulldogs just edge them out. And in my last game that I thought caught my eye was the Roosters versus the Dolphins, 3rd v. 4th. The Dolphins are 5 in a row at the moment, but a few key matchups that I'm looking forward to here. Their fullbacks, James Tedesco for the Roosters, Hamiso Taboafito for the Dolphins. Both electric, both the two of the best fullbacks in our game. Watch them get after it. And also the halfbacks, Sam Walker, probably one of the in-form halfbacks this year. Won't surprise me if he does get the Dally M halfback of the year, going up against Isaiah Katoa.
Just two young guns going at it.
Just
cooking this
from
year.
From the hip, just going, getting after it, directing their team. I'd be keen to see Isaiah get out of his,
You want to see him take on
more.
The ball.
Yeah,
take on the line, a bit more.
Take a little bit more risk.
Yeah, take
him on. You know, you see Sam Walker just open up his game with his little grubbers, with his kick chases, those long balls. I want to see Isaiah just unleash a little bit more. And then just a final one, Mark Nawanginitawase versus Selwyn Cobbo. Big athletes. Looking forward to seeing them to get after and score some tries. So Roosters v Dolphins this Saturday afternoon at 5:30 p.m. You can hear every game live on ABC Radio Australia. And that will be me for Rugby League, Sammy. Before we get to Sala Tongatuki, let's shift over to some Rugby Union.
Hey, it's Greg Marshy from Newcastle Knights, and you're listening to Nizam Footy.
Yes, Rugby Union T. Very well done on your wrap-up tour of Rugby League. Outstanding work. And we're going to talk Rugby Union before we get to Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani, who's going to talk through a bit of the Flying Fijian stuff as well. That squad there and a couple of signings for the draw. But the All Blacks, they played their last midweek game against the Lions, who are based in Johannesburg in South Africa. And it was good to see the return of Richie Mo'unga in the number 10 jersey at fly half. And look, I would say it wasn't his most polished performance being back there, but there were still moments where he showed a lot of class.
With these midweek games, do the All Blacks, so these players, will they be caught up to play in the big test matches against South Africa?
Only if there was injuries.
So they've got
the
a big squad
over
there.
They've got a big squad. So I think it's like 44, with them on tour. And it would be very rare if someone had to back up from the midweek game to the test match on the Saturday. So, and that midweek team, holy, there were some stars in that one. Like Bowden Barrett was at fullback, you had Rico Ioane at 13, Timothy Tavatavanawa at 12, Richard Mo'unga at 10, Sam Soni Taukiaho at hooker. Yeah, then I think that level of competition between the players, it's been healthy and it's brought the best out of...
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's brought the best out of all their players. And Ruben Love came out this week, the starting number 10 for the All Blacks, who won a premiership with the Hurricanes. He was asked about Richard Mo'unga coming back in. Is it tense, or is it are you off him or things like that? He goes, mate, we're here to make the All Blacks better, not me better.
Yeah, okay.
It's about the team first.
So they're not doing it for the individuals.
Yeah, not doing it for
the
individual.
They understand the purpose of the job and the service of the All Blacks and that jersey. They're all doing it for that black jersey.
That black jersey. And he was saying, I'm learning so much of Richie, and we're competing hard, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, we understand the mission. It's about the black jersey. So
where's Richie been?
He's been in Japan. He's been playing for Toshiba the last few years.
Yep.
And just to hear him talk about the reasons why he came back to the All Blacks jersey, like he could have still earned $2 million at Toshiba a year. But he said that, although Japan is a great lifestyle, it's a great culture change, and the footy is different and it's still competitive, he would sit there and watch test matches in his time off and just get that itch.
Get FOMO.
Yeah.
That fear of missing out.
And as you get older, it's like it's either now or never, and he didn't want to have that regret when he retired up. So that's why he is back. And as I said, he had some classy moments still with his vision, his pass selection, and ultimately – that's what got him over the line around their big play stand up, because they were down 35 points to 17 at one point against the Lions, and they had to claw their way back and win 41 points to 35.
And the Lions, they are a club footy team?
Yeah, club footy
team. So they'll be equivalent to the Waratahs and...
Yes. So the Bulls and the Stormers, the Lions, the Cheetahs, who else am I missing in South Africa? The Sharks.
And they're in season?
they're about to start their season. So these are all their preseason games before they go into their URC and play in the Northern Hemisphere competition. Cool. So they're getting ready for that.
Who's been the standout for those games?
For the All Blacks?
The All Blacks, for the midweekers.
Honestly, Rico Ioane has to be my standout player. He's playing in the 13 jersey and he's been playing on the wing, but he's wound back the clock from when he first started with the All Blacks. And when we had Lima, your cousin, on, he talked about Rico being similar to Jerome Luai.
Mm.
They can play that hero and villain role. And
very out there characters. Very out there characters. Not shy to express themselves.
Absolutely.
And can come across in different ways from an audience where they either love them or you hate them.
That's exactly right. Because some people see it as being arrogant and cocky, but others would be seeing it as confidence.
And cool.
And cool.
Yeah.
Exactly. Depending on what generation
you are. I'm in the confidence and cool category.
Me too. I love him as a competitor. And I just think for someone like him, who has that status, he's a big name, but he's not been selected in the main game, the test match game in the 23. So he's been named in the midweek games. He has been by far the standout and has been a leader in those games. And he was the difference in that Lions games. He scored 2 tries, showing pace and just really, really owning that midweek team. And I think for someone like him, where people might be thinking the opposite, like he'd be kicking his feet because he's not in the main squad for test match week, but he's been proving everyone wrong, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
So he's been playing in France.
Yeah. No, he's been playing in Ireland Leinster.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, with those, it's similar to when the thing I can put in, like picture it is, say the NRL player, they get dropped back down to New South Wales Cup, and then you've got 2 different types of players. One that goes and kicks stones and sulks about not being in that first grade team or the NRL team. Or you have the one who sets an example, understands his role, but then also inspires the people around him and then brings them along with for that journey. I'd love to see. Is that what you're trying to say? Is Rico's now in that situation?
Yeah, he's going after it. Like he's going, and that's a mindset thing. That's the thing that you can control, is your preparation and your performance in times when it's not going your way. That's a true mark of a champion, how you show up.
Would you say Dave Rennie had a big piece of that?
I think Rennie and Tanner. I know that Rico is a massive Tanner fan. You know, like his dad, Rico's dad and his family used to like talked about Tanu Umanga when Tanner was coaching at the Blues. You know, big part of like, oh, this is why I want to stay here as an idol. And you know, those guys being part of the All Blacks setup, like there'll be like honest conversations, but understanding that there's a lot of value in what you do. It doesn't matter if you're in the starting 23 for the test match or in the midweek, or you're not in the 23 altogether. And I reckon he's owning that responsibility, and I absolutely love that. But yeah, the All Blacks, they got the job done, 41 points to 35 over the Lions. They now take on South Africa in their second test match this weekend. And I can't believe this has happened already. Dave Rennie is going for 9 in a row as All Blacks coach.
Yeah, Islander. Oh,
the Cook Islander. Mate, someone get a statue ready for him.
Get a World Cup and then we'll get you your statue in Tupapa, the village in Rarotonga.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And then he can go coach the Tupapa Panthers.
I think he's from Titicaca. I think that's what I might have heard somewhere.
There's got to be a statue somewhere there for big Dave Rennie if he gets the World Cup. But that's huge for the ABs. Hopefully there's another cracking test match this weekend. And now the Wallabies. They take on Argentina this weekend as well. Probably the big surprise out of this one is Joseph Suoliti not starting at 13. He's going to come off the bench. Isaac Henry from the Queensland Reds will start in the 13 jersey. And, look, obviously the highest paid player in the game is now coming off the bench. And, again, we just spoke about Rico Ioane, you know, and the attitude and effort and the value he's still having in the game. Be interesting to see how Joseph comes on when he does get his chance and what he does and what he does throughout the week to see if he helps get the Wallabies a win over in Argentina, which would be very hard. And like, in all honesty, Isaac Henry got his chance against Japan in the second test when Suoliti was injured. I thought the Wallabies looked better in attack. That's what I believe.
Taken away.
Yeah, that's what I believe. But who knows what will happen. But anyway, That's us for Rugby Union Tea before we get over to Nemanja Nondola Kurundrani. But before that,
let's head over to Sala Tongatuki and talk about the NRLW, West Tigers, and Round 9 this weekend.
G'day guys, my name's Ezekiel Rodney Yonna, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge, Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, coming off the back of another NRLW
win.
Another one.
Stop it.
And this one was a close one over the Newcastle Knights. We have Sala Tongatuki from the West Tigers NRLW team.
Top she's, four, baby. Here we go.
She's also represented the Fetu Samoa, the Jillaroos, New South Wales Blues. She's done it all, and it's just so happy to see her winning.
And smiling.
In the winner's circle.
Thanks, boys.
With the West Tigers. How's your week been, Sala? Great win last week as well.
Week's been great. We've had really good training sessions so far. So, yeah, the girls are just keen to just try and just fix a couple of things up, which is our defence. We let Newcastle come back then. Really got the win over us. So, yeah, we were very lucky. But, yeah, there was a way and we found it and we got the job done. So that's all that matters for us is just staying composed from start to end. Hopefully we can go 5 in a row this weekend, but we know it's not going to be easy. We just got to go back to the way we started. We need to stick to that for a full 70. We can't just be doing that first half of them, be complacent, and that's what happened. So,
You're sitting third on the ladder currently on the NRLW charts. That big win against Newcastle Knights. They've been a pretty strong team over the last few years, but you've only lost 2 games this year against the Sydney Roosters and the Brisbane Broncos, the 2 grand final teams from last year. But Newcastle Knights, what does it mean to, how does it feel to beat a team at that level, but then also to see the success that you girls have had so far? I understand there's a bit of work to do still in the next few games, but where you're at now, are you happy with how you're standing?
It's unreal for the girls. It's like a history thing for us too. We've never actually ever beaten Newcastle Knights, so it was nice to experience that feeling, especially at McDonald Jones Stadium. Like, their fans, they really are loyal, and they show up not just for the men's but for the women's as well. Pretty sure Knights hold the standalone record games in NRLW. So, yeah, and just our last couple of games, the way we've been winning, like, I think that just shows the growth in our group. Like, early in the season, we probably let games like that just slip away, but now there's, like, real belief that no matter what's happening in a game, we can actually find a way to get the job done, like I said. So, yeah, it's we're just going one game at a time as well. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We are up there, and it's so nice and rewarding. And just to even have the club, just even our sponsors and that, winning does do a lot for you. You do receive so much support off that. So, yeah, we're just really keen to just try pay it back to our fans who've stayed on with us. We've obviously not given them the best results the last couple of years to cheer for, but it's exciting having a lot of them back us this season and just stay on board with us. Hopefully we play some finals and go all the way, but only God knows. So, yeah.
Nice. When you tick off all these like little milestones along the way and knock off some of these teams, you win tight ones, you win at stadiums you haven't won at before, what changes have you seen around the confidence in the group, the belief in the group to be able to like continue to have this type of feeling? So what changes have you seen there?
I've just been enjoying seeing my teammates just work on like their just extras and that, just holding each other accountable. If we know like there's passes or we're not executing things, like we'll see the girls now after the training or before training get together and just try and work on fine-tuning those moments. And Ray, like, it was crazy, like, in that Newcastle game, that's her first ever career field goal. And mind you, like, she's bloody won it all. Like, she's one of the best players in the game. Like, she's, you know, she's got a golden boot before, which means she's the best in the world. And for her to only just get that, what, now in her career, that's giving her confidence. And she was, I think the last couple of weeks, she was barely doing any extras on field goaling, like doing field goals. And only just in that week of prepping for the Newcastle Knights game, she was actually doing a lot. For some reason, she was just like, this game might just come to the wire. And it just happened, you know, those extras had paid off for Ray, because we laugh about it now. She's like, just, oh my gosh, I can't believe like the one week I actually do it and I actually had to do it. And then she nailed it. I was like, it's crazy. So now the girls, that's the kind of belief and the kind of leadership that Ray's setting to all of us. Like us middles, we know we need to be better on running hard on those balls and like bashing the front door down. So we're doing all those extras after training, running at each other. If we can handle each other really well, like our strongest ball runners, then we should be able to handle anyone in the games. But we just haven't been able to produce like a 10 out of 10 performance. And that's the most exciting thing about my team is, it's probably yet to come, but that's really up to us, like the mental work and that, and just being patient. I feel like we've just been throwing a lot of sloppy balls and just cheap yardage and that, just possession, just to the opposition. So, yeah, we just need to tidy that up. And, yeah, just plenty of things to work on.
Well, the 80-minute or 70-minute performance can be done against the Bulldogs when you take on the Canterbury Bulldogs this Sunday evening. You are the last game at 6:15 kickoff. But I want to touch on round 9 this weekend. There are a few great games to look forward to. This first one tomorrow, kicking off on Saturday, the Titans versus the Raiders. Titans are sitting second on the ladder and the Raiders behind you guys at fourth. What do you make of this game?
I think it's going to be a really good game. Like, the Titans have been really impressive this season. 7 wins like straight, that's massive for them. But I definitely wouldn't count Canberra out. They're fourth on the ladder and they've already shown that they can beat top sides, which is like, you know, the Brisbane Broncos. So, yeah. And there's also heaps of Pacifica talent across both teams. You got Titans out wide, Phoenix, Rain Hippie, you know, strong ball carrier. I really do like watching her under high balls too. She's really confident. And then, you know, you got through their pack, Fanua Ramoni, Vani Isako, Ivana Lolisio, and Sienna Lefipo. Those girls have been real, laying the platform for Titans. But I'm feeling so impressed with Ivania, returning from having a baby, and, you know, she dominated in that full back role, but she's experiencing the back row role now. She's been really like dominant in there. And I feel like, yeah, her ball playing skills have been very deceptive out wide for the Titans, which helps, you know, Lauren Brown and those girls like just do what they do as well. But Canberra have also got plenty of our Pacifica talent, like Leanne Tafunga, Mackenzie Wiki, and the Tamara sisters through the spine. And then the big name, Samaya Mataufa, who leaves through the middle, all the time. But yeah, I think it's for Canberra, it's just being physical and they know they can do that. They need to slow the momentum down. Don't give too much space or room for Brown and Levi, cause they know how to play. And they do have really good, slick ball movements as well. So I think, yeah, the defense will need to be really up in their faces, taking that space away from them, like I said. But yeah, hey, like Canberra's got Zahara too. She's got probably the best game management, in my opinion, this season. I think off the back of that, they probably might have a chance. Just keep doing what they do. Just lay the platform flat and fast through the middle. I'm just going to go towards Canberra this game for the win.
Yeah, both teams coming
off. Love an upset.
Both teams coming off big wins. And Raiders, geez, 48 points over 4 to over the Bulldogs, only scoring one try. And then you have the Titans beating the Brisbane Broncos, the last year's premiership winners, 28 points to 20. So it is a great game to look forward to.
And this is the first time Broncos have been out of the top four.
Top six.
Ever.
Well, they were. There was so much headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
And then the Knights are outside of the top six at seventh. The other game I just want to quickly touch on is the Eels versus the Broncos. Speaking of the Broncos, they lost to the Titans 28 points to 20 last week. But the Eels coming off the back of two great wins, and I know they've been chasing their first win, but now going into this game with two wins in a row, do you think the Eels can get the job done over the Broncos?
Yeah, you know what? They're actually on a really good, they're on a good momentum right now. And it's crazy too. Like, you've got the Sheridan sisters who are in inclusion as well. So we don't know what that team's going to look like an hour before kickoff. But I feel like it's been, whatever they've been doing to Eels, it's been working well for them. But then the Broncos have Ali Brigginshaw come back as well. And they've had a few change-ups in their middles as well. So I find that the middles, where they've put them for this game, that's probably the best for them as well in terms of their skills and what they can bring to the team. But, yeah, I reckon the Eels can do it. I think they can do it. There's already two losses to the Broncos, and that's just the two games they probably need to just focus on and, yeah.
Too easy. Well, thank you for joining us on Nijin Footy Fridays, and all the best this Sunday when you take on the Bulldogs. Man, it's good to see you guys, well, you girls winning, because it's, over the last couple of years, I know we've mentioned it before, the energy has definitely shifted, and it's good to see you smiling. So great work to you girls, and all the best on Sunday, and we'll see you next Friday on Nijin Footy.
Hey, I'm Charlie Gamble, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Yes, it's so good to see Sala Tongatuki winning. That was her from the NRLW West Tigers team. We will now head over to Nemani Nondola Kunundrani, but stay tuned, because at the end of the show, me and Sammy, we play our lock and smoke, our version of our tipping comp. But let's head over to Nemani, reporting from Tonga.
Reporting from Tonga, yes he is. Let's get over to Big Nems.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, it is time to talk rugby with our great man, Nemani Nondola Kurindrani, who's normally in Fiji at this time, but he is in the beautiful kingdom of Tonga. Malo toko, what is happening? How is the beautiful kingdom treating you, my friend?
Oh, yo, malo lele, say that. Yeah, it's very cool, man. Sorry.
No, it's cool. You don't mock my people like that and do that accent? Like, just...
It's like the 5 days in Tonga.
Man. Yeah, five days in Tonga, all of a sudden, hey, say that.
Yeah. No. In the kingdom, and it's actually cold here. I feel like I'm back in Australia. So, but no, man, it's good.
What have you been getting up to over there?
I'm actually over here doing some stuff with the 20s and rugby development. So it's been pretty cool. I was at the Kolomatua Rugby Club. Really impressed with their facilities. Like, they've actually got a gym. They've got a clubhouse. They've got a rugby field. Like, man, they're literally like the draw. Their gym is actually serves as a public gym. So, a lot of clubs and I guess in Fiji can take note because, they're doing a good job. So down there, they've got the launch of their under-20s competition tomorrow, which I've been invited to go to. And, yeah, man, just been roaming around and went to doing some sightseeing, went to Ball College, famous school here. And I got to meet the Crown Prince, His Royal Highness, this morning. He's next in line to be the next King of Tonga. So presented him with a little gift, and it was good to rub shoulders with royalty.
Yeah, nice, bro. Obviously, that's a famous school there at the law there, at the Ball College. A lot of players have come out of that school, man. Some famous players, and the other rival was probably Atele. A lot of, I think the Tongan Thor came out of Ardeli. I don't want to get that wrong, but I'm pretty sure he was from there. But, you know, when you go to those facilities, you know, the high schools, can you explain what it's like when you see the students around and their type of facilities? And, you know, when you walked through there, did they know who you were?
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with their facilities. To be fair, I walked in and set up is awesome. The kids were, as you know, it's very respectful. I got given access to their museum. Mate, they're a school that's 160 years old. So
holy.
A lot of fun facts about their school and how it connects back to Fiji. So,
yeah, when you were over there as well, anyone with Fijian heritage that you wanted to take back to the draw, because there's some big boys there?
Mate, I was going to see if the Royal Highness wanted to come over and play. I'm looking for need some big forwards. I didn't know if it was appropriate to ask him if he played rugby, so I was very respectful, but... And I'd love to take him. I'd love to bring him over for preseason. I reckon it'd be. But he's apparently going to Newington next year. So
I was about to say that. I heard that he's got Scott. He'll be going to Newington. I did hear that.
Yeah.
So he's okay, cool.
Crazy, man.
There we go. There we go. Well, Nems, good to hear that you're enjoying beautiful Tonga over there. A lot going on. You always do amazing work. But let's shift over now to Flying Fijian Squads has been announced for the upcoming Pacific Nations Cup. I believe that it's only – is it only Fiji, Japan? Or is Canada in this one as well?
Canada and US.
And the US in this one. So they've chosen their squad here. A couple of new caps that are going to be in this side. One that I really like, I think is an unreal player, is Isaac Ratumaitavuki Nemkins. Man, he's been in there. We've got Aisoa Tuai. He's there as well. But, you know, when you look at the squad here, what are you liking or who do you think's missing? But, yeah, give us your thoughts on it.
Yeah, as you know, the squad is made up of Drua players and whatnot. I think 23 of our guys have been picked. For me, I'm really happy to see someone like Maleli get a run, you know, make the squad. He's part of our development squad, and he's a great feel-good story. He's gone through the whole development, doing the whole 3 years, and, you know, he's someone that you want to watch next year. He'll probably make his Super Rugby debut, and so for him to get a shot, I think it's going to be a great experience for him. And then also for me was a standout was the front rowers in Inoke. We've just signed him at the Drua. He's someone that's been knocking on the doors. He's playing consistently well in Skipper Cup. And then he had a crack down at Norse, I believe, down in Canberra. So for him to get his shot, you know, he's really pumped to see him get. And then obviously the old bull Manasa Mataeli.
He's back.
You know, he's someone that's I've always felt he's missed out on a few, just unlucky. But I think for him to be in that squad and he can play centre, wing, I think he'll offer a lot of experience there, and obviously his time playing in New Zealand and whatnot. So he'll be good for them. I think, you know, just touching on the PNC, my concerns will be Japan. I think Japan are travelling really well. You know, they've actually been playing rugby against you know, tier one nations the last few months, whereas our boys have either been playing club rugby in Shoot Shield or QPR or none at all. So, you know, that's going to be the biggest challenge. Obviously, as you know, the coaches are the Fiji Rugby, the Flying Fijians coach has just been advertised again.
Yeah, I was going to ask this one in my next one. Just on that, who do you think is going to be the front runner for this one? Obviously, the Drua have picked up a really good coach with Brad Moore. Yeah. But, you know, for the Flying Fijians, are they going down the route of, you know, wanting a Fijian as their coach, or is it the best candidate?
Well, the biggest thing you got to remember, it's this time of the year where, A, all the teams have sorted their coaches. International coaches are all locked in. All the good ones are all locked in. All the ones that aren't international coaches are either in preseason or their season have started, or, you know, they're in preseason. All the Super Rugby coaches are locked in. Now, the question is, who is going to be able to do it? That's qualified enough that can come in and essentially it's a 14-month contract. Again, so there's that part of, you know, do I move my family over for the year? How does it work? So, yeah, there's a lot of noise, head noise outside of the Flying Fijians. But to be fair, I couldn't think of anyone that's around this time that would be freed up. And even the good ones, the good ones are all doing consultancy work, you know, and they're all sitting on, you know, a lot of money. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see who they do. I know it'll be, I'm hoping it'll be an overseas coach. I think we need to bring in someone who is seasoned, someone who is experienced that can turn things around in these next 14 months. Because again, you know, once they pick it in October 1, you've got November tour. So,
yes,
you know, we're already 3-0.
Nations Cup there for that one. But lastly, yes, bro, the Drua have signed probably one of the best looking guys in Super Rugby, probably globally, Kavakini. Talk to me about this bloke. I just saw him pop up. So, and I just like, who is this ripped up, good looking rooster that the Drua have just signed? And can he play as well?
Well, no, I could play. I played for 15 years.
Well
oh, not me. Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
You like
mate.
That one, T?
I've been in Tonga too long.
he got the oil on you from Tonga. You just shining bright
I've
over
got
there.
Got all the coconut oil on. No, mate, this guy, honestly, he wasn't even on our radar. I'll be honest with you. He wasn't on our radar at all. We went – it's one of those stories, man. You go to a game to watch a player and then you end up – so we went to watch a player that we were looking at. Turns out he didn't even play that game. So in that stand was myself. So I go to all the games, and then because Brad Moore was here, Jeff Miller, they all said, oh, look, Nebs, we'll come with you. I was like, oh, yeah, sweet. Anyway, so we're all there, went to watch this centre play that we're going to sign, ended up – it was the other centre for playing for Nundrungar. And so he just – his passing skills, everything was amazing. So anyway, we found out that he was going to Romania – no, Georgia. So Georgia were, you know, looking after, you know, keen to sign him and whatnot. Anyway, he got to a point, our team manager was like – and I said – we were like, we want to sign him. He was ignoring our calls, wouldn't come into the base, and we were just like – we're on a Friday, and it was like 12 o'clock, half day, I'm about to knock off. Our team manager comes in and goes, Nems, if you want to get this guy, it's either he's got his ticket to go to Georgia, he's got this, he's got, you know, he's going to sign to Georgia, but if you want him, go now to his village. And I was like, fuck. Oh, so I was like, all right, let's go. Where is it? And he goes, it's in Singatoka. And I was like, oh, yes, set. That's, you know, fine. And he goes, but just when you go past the bridge, so you go over the bridge, turn left. When you turn left, there's a village there. It's only about a 10-minute drive past that village. I was like, okay, set. You go now, they're waiting for you there. They're waiting for you. And I was like, okay. He was like, he goes, they just got back from town. They called, they're waiting for you. I was like, sweet. And I was like, oh, man. You know, and so, and I was like, what do? It's 12 o'clock. I make plans again. And I took some of the guys to the office. We're like, all right, let's go. Right, we went up there, got to the end of that village. So it took an hour to get there. Got to the end of that village. And I spoke to one of the boys. Hey, boys, Bulla, where's Nandrala village? And I'm like, and this was their reaction. And that's when I knew, boy, this is a long drive. And past that bitumen road, that village, it goes gravel. And I was there, lads, I tell you, 35 minutes on gravel track heading up. On the way, we became a taxi driver as well. We're picking up guys, dropping you at off village. Got up there, 35-minute drive, and it was literally in the Highlands. Got there. By then, Nemi's had enough. He's like, so anyway, long story short, we got there. It was an emotional, it was pretty emotional as well, you know, and they thanked, they were the teary and, you know, just to say thank you for coming out. And it was, you know, like it was one of those things where, you know, you do, it's why you do what you do. And, yeah, he said, yep, I'm signed. Thank you for coming out. The parents were like, you know, what you guys have done for us and our family. Mate, the house, just a, you know, brick house. And nothing spectacular in the middle of the Highlands, bruss. And I'll tell you, man, we came back, me and the two guys and my co-workers, we were just like sort of like watery eyes. Like, what's like, man? Anyway, did some research. So the guy, he goes to uni, studies surveyor. He's a model. He got model of the year in the South Pacific. And he plays soccer. He played soccer for 12 years before he played rugby. And he started playing rugby when he was 17 or 18.
Brass, what a story. Hey, Tim, you think about, man, signing a player. Like, just that's they're the feel-good stories that don't get told enough.
Yeah.
The lengths that you'll go, man, to get a player and the reaction that you get and the way you got to get there. Like, that's not happening here in Australia. No, like, no, and that's way. The
thing. I was telling people, I was like, man, if kids want to get signed in Australia, you're going to HQ. Like, they ain't coming to you. You go to them. And, man, you know, and I'll be honest, I started doing that a little bit, and then I've sort of realized, no, you've got to go to them. And this is where, you know, because essentially, as you know, as Islanders, it's not you, it's your family, eh? Or your old man or your mum, your parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his parents are still around and still alive. And, you know, just to go there and sit there and, man, and tell them, listen, this is an opportunity, but it's entirely up to you. And to have the mum cry, and she just retired. So it was like, man, anyway, so they came down. They signed on Tuesday, and this is where it got teary, man. We've got a room, a team room up in the drawer, and it's got all the names of all everyone that's played for the drawer. And so we were in there, and his father took him to the side. And boy, I'm telling you, boys, it teared me up, and I'm just tearing, thinking, like, I'm getting watery eyes thinking about it. He turned to the wall, and him and his son. And we heard it, man. And he was like, just quietly, he's like, see that? Your name's going to be on that wall soon. It's up to you now. And, man, and all of us, I walked out. I was like, wait, so you guys are good? You guys sorted out. I'll be downstairs. Like, I literally, man, because it was, you know, and then, like, he's sitting there and he's, oh, man, it was, again, it's why you do what you do, man. And, you know, you're changing lives, not you're making impact in people's lives, man. And that was definitely a highlight of my year, was that.
Oh, you know, Nems, man. Honestly, thank you for sharing that one. Hey, look out for Kavakini. Is it Bosilawa? Is that him?
Bosilawa, yes. Bosilawa. And he will be. He'll be. And on top of that, he's a freak of a player.
Yeah, I saw him move in some of those. Some of those games. He definitely can move well. He's very well balanced, just like every other Fijian back. And shredded. He's a total package. So hopefully, we get to see he make his debut next year. But Nems, it's always a pleasure. You keep doing God's work, my friend, and we'll touch base with you again next week. But just, I know you said you were early, but just reply back to the WhatsApp messages earlier. That's all we can ask for, just so we, because I had Campisi on standby.
Wi-Fi, Tongan Wi-Fi, eh?
I just had him on standby. Yeah, I was like, can you be on standby till 7 a.m. until one of the mornings, until Nems gets back to me?
Oh, so Tiana didn't tell you. No, we've got a connection, so she knows.
Oh, anyway, she knows. The digital Wi-Fi was down. She knows. So, okay, sweet.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, sorry. We'll add you in the group chat.
Get out of here, boy. More than we're out. Later, Kaz.
Off later, bro.
Hi, my name is Faith Nathan, and I'm listening to Kinesian Footy.
Big thank you to Nems.
What a story.
From Nems.
Nems.
Oh, bro, he's full of stories anyway. He's full of something else as well, but he's got some gold there for that signing. So we'll make sure we keep out for an eye out for that player, man. He seems to be the goods, that's for sure, according to Big Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani. But let's get over to now our lock and smoke tipping, because I am copping a hide in there as well
too. Yeah, play the intro.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Yes, this is our tipping competition.
Tipping comp.
So lock and smoke. We'll pick two teams from this weekend's games. The lock being a favourite. The smoky being the least favourite of the two teams that play each other. The winner at the end of the year will receive a feed from the loser. I'm winning 27 points to 23. And last week, Sammy, we both got our smokies. I can't
That's
believe
unheard of.
My smoky was Tigers over the Knights. Salas, Tigers.
I can't believe my smoky was the Eels NRLW over the Sharkies. Because I remember you gave me that look like, nah, that's not happening, considering the Stars are in the Sharks.
But they were off the back of a win. And
they gave him a hiding too. Yeah. But anyway, let's go here.
Look at my lock. Roosters lost to the Tigers in NRL. That was last week.
Oh, I had the Raiders too, the Broncos.
Big Papa's house.
Yes, I thought they were getting the job done. But yeah, the Roosters. Oh, man, they should have had that one locked up. But anyway, we're on to another week. What are you thinking this week, T, for your lock?
My lock this week, I am going to go the...
Ooh.
This is a tough one because right across the board, there's some even games, even matchups. But let's go with...
Whoa, they are some even ones.
Let's go. See, the Warriors and Knights, that's even. Anyone can win there.
I would say Knights is a smoky, though, if that's what you...
Nah. I'm going to say the Sharks to beat the Eels.
As your lock?
It will be my lock-in.
Okay. This is a big one for me, T. I think South Africa are a lock to beat the All Blacks this
game
week.
Two.
Game two.
Really?
In Cape Town. I think South Africa get it done.
Okay. My smoky for NRLW will be, let's go, the Raiders to beat the Titans.
Raiders to beat the Titans. Okay.
Titans are on fire. They're sitting second on the ladder. Will you give me Raiders?
Yeah, no. Go Raiders. I like it. Give me one game in that NRL and I'll just choose you for a smoky.
All right, you can have the Eels versus the Sharks. We'll go head to head.
All right, done. I'll get that one.
Done.
There we go. That's us for Nesian Footy Friday. We've wrapped it up. We'll be back on Monday again for Nesian Footy Monday. But wherever you find your podcast, make sure you search for us or find us on the ABC Pacific website. But until Monday, can't keep you.
Have a great weekend, everyone. See you on Monday. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.